T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, Secretary Moran, I am glad to talk to you. How are you this morning? You're there? Great. I think we're just having technical problems left and right this week. I'm so sorry about that. It sounds like your connection is a little better now. Terrific. I didn't get to see the entire press conference with the governor earlier in the week, but he was asked about where we stand COVID infection rate-wise and what the actual triggers will be to move to reopening the state. And I think a lot of people are eager to get back to normal, especially, let's be honest, parents who've got their kids at home who either don't think that this remote learning situation is that great, or they just want peace in their house and need to get their kids, you know, out of the house for a few hours a day. Were you with the governor? Do you have any insight on that question?
Yes and no. I mean, we're all frustrated, and we are watching the numbers from the very beginning. The governor has depended on the data. He's made the determinations based on the hospitalization rates, the positivity rates, and other, you know, other factors with respect to the VDH. And I'm just looking at the VDH. Having listened to you this morning, I've been looking at the VDH, summary here of cases. We're at 4.7%. Mm-hmm. The last 2 days of cases that I've seen, by my calculations, have been over 6%. Just about 6%. So, again, Virginia.
Is that up? That's up, right?
That's a bit up, yeah. That's a bit up. And the testing is still robust. We're still about 20,000 tests a day. Mm-hmm. So that's a good factor. But, you know, the numbers just... You know, at the beginning, the health experts said get down to 5%. We got down to 5%, actually under 5%. I think when I spoke to you last week, we were at 4.5, but I've seen a bit of an uptick, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and you just heard,
that doesn't freak you out, though, does it, to be at 6?
No, it doesn't.
We don't want more people infected, but it's not like we're seeing masses of people going to the hospital and that there's a dramatic change in that element, which is, I think, what everybody's really worried about, right?
That is correct. I mean, from the beginning, it was the hospitalizations. Do we have the capacity? Because it's obviously the mortality rate that ultimately we're worried about. But there's, significant disruptions to people who do fall ill. But, you know, on the backdrop of trying to move forward, we're worried about moving backward. You just heard your own newscast, New Mexico, Wisconsin, Ohio. I mean, they're talking about moving backwards, putting in stay-at-home orders. I mean, that's the last thing we want to do is reimpose stay-at-home orders. They were effective, but the disruption to our daily lives, the economy, I mean, that is not where we want to go, John. So it's frustrating. I mean, these are daily discussions. I know the governor is struggling with it. The economy's good. You just saw the revenues up. Beyond forecast this week, Secretary Lane announced those. That was good news. We've been using the Federal CARES Act money to get money back into the economy and help those who have helped us weather the storm of a virus, like healthcare workers, home healthcare workers, and so. You know, John, I don't have a ready answer for you. I will tell you and your listeners that we look at the data every day and analyze it. We're looking for outbreaks. We BDH now has done a very good job of breaking it down by district. You know where the outbreak's occurring, which health districts. In a Northern Virginia, I use Northern Virginia, and I don't want to favoritism for them, but every morning I receive their seven-day, I get a National Capital Region report from them, and I get their seven-day running average. And theirs are still below 7%, below 5% up in Northern Virginia. But
well, that's good, because that's a population density that's that has a potential problem.
Well, if you remember early on, it was Northern Virginia. In fact, they delayed moving into phase one because of their high numbers. And so they've done a very good job. But again, it's a bit of a roller coaster. You see states that you relax your restrictions, and then the numbers go up, and then you reimpose restrictions, and it goes down. And so it's until we have a vaccine. Now, I do, in terms of the vaccine, the VDH and others are working diligently to create a plan that once a vaccine is available, we will distribute that effectively, efficiently, and expeditiously to those who want it. And so we're working on that plan. You know, this pandemic hit us a bit unaware, and so there was some work to get up and running on terms of testing and so forth. But you know, we're anticipating a vaccine, and so we want to be ready on day one when that becomes available, that we can distribute it in a fair manner and effective.
And on the vaccine, it's still voluntary, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Oh, good news there too, John.
Okay.
You know, you always try to find a silver lining on a rainy day. The flu shots are up substantially from this time last year. The flu shots are up. So, you know, you've heard all the news reports and all the health experts that this is going to be a double whammy, flu shots and then coronavirus. But the flu shots are up, and so that's good news. I think people are clearly paying attention and responding in a healthy fashion. So we're really pleased to be able to look at those numbers. They're preliminary, and you don't have to. Apparently, it's a voluntary reporting, so you know we have to dig a little deeper into those numbers. But preliminarily, it looks like people are really going in and getting their flu shots, which I
need to go across the street to the drugstore and get mine, because that is something that I have no anxiety about. That would probably, you know, help protect me and my family. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, people taking the precautions for coronavirus, I mean, I think the flu season's going to be light because people are wearing masks, they're washing their hands, they're taking all the necessary steps that would address the flu as well. So, but you know, all you have to do is listen to the health spread. You know, if you try to discern what's true, what's not. But we're very pleased to know that the flu shots are up and
good.
And we're watching the numbers every day. Go ahead.
Before I run out of time, and I've got 60 seconds left, I'm sorry.
Well, and you have a Democrat on.
You
have Senator Warner later. You had Chris Piper. Didn't he do a good job on the election?
I'm trying to take care of being very bipartisan here.
I know you are.
Opening the airwaves. Colonel Katz, the chief of police in Chesterfield, is on in the next half hour, and he is very concerned about the legislation that would restrict police from pulling people over if their lights are off while they're driving in the night. The license plate isn't lit. Their brake lights aren't working. Have you taken a position on this? It seems like law enforcement's concerned about it.
They are, and we've listened to them, and we're in communication with them, and we are in communication with the patrons of that bill. It did pass both the House and the Senate. Mm-hmm. But we're in conversations with them because we've heard from a number of advocacy groups, and drunk driving, it's a real concern of ours.
I mean, that's how you catch a lot of drunk drivers, is they forget to
have
their lights on.
Half the people they have numbers to suggest that half the people driving at night without their lights on are drunk driving. So that is a significant problem. Now, that I think the question is whether or not the officer can stop them, or do they have to actually write a summons, you know, a violation for the act. And so we're working with the patrons. That certainly is something that among a lot of these bills we've been monitoring, and we are working with the patrons to see if we can address the concerns of law enforcement and the citizens at large. I think we've heard, you know, there are concerns about that bill.
Mm-hmm. You've got them. Yeah. You're concerned about it. Not to put you on the spot, but I'm going to put you on the spot.
John, I am concerned about them. I am concerned about them. And we are working on them.
We'll pick it up next week. We'll see where we are when we talk next Friday. Brian Moran is the secretary.
Have 7 days. These are all fast bills. Yeah, I know. It's a special session, so things move quickly.
Brian Moran is the secretary of public safety, a member of Governor Northam's cabinet. And I appreciate you coming on, as always.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.